In your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have a statement in our larger catechism as we come to the prayer request, thy kingdom come. And one and at the end of that, or toward the end of that answer, as the, you know, what do we pray for in that petition? The Westminster Divines set forth what is the popular view of their day, and it is a good view, and it persists unto this day, that in the latter days of the New Testament age, there will be a period of time toward the end of that age when there will be something like what Paul will call in Romans chapter 11, life from the dead for the Jewish people. That God's ancient people, the Jews, whereas they had rejected Messiah, and they appeared to be a woman, like it says here, a woman that was cast off, a divorced woman, that while she may have been divorced in her youth, the Lord will bring once again the captivity of Zion. And so this is not a separate estate. This is not something in which we're seeing the Jews being somehow separately dealt with than the Gentiles. No, what we're seeing is the Jews and the Gentiles coming together at the end of days, that there will be a great revival among the Jewish people. And those divines that spoke of that would turn to Isaiah chapter 54 as one of their places in Scripture where they would show that as being the future hope of the Jewish people. Now, I will say a few things about that. First of all, it's hard for us to know literally who the true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are. We are such a mongrelized race anymore. And this is indeed the Lord's providence. It would be difficult to identify those folks that are true possessors of what we would call Jewish blood from the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some have even said that there is a very large strain of Judaism in the Anglo-Saxon peoples. I don't know if that's true or not. I just can't know any of that. I'm not sure anyone really can. That's not what we're after here. What we're after here is that God did make promises to those Jewish people. He did make promises to Abraham, and those promises are spiritually and verily visited to the people across the world in Christ. And so this is one of those passages here in Isaiah 54 where we read sort of to the end of the book, and we hear that in the latter days, while the Jews have largely been cast off as a people, Paul will speak to that question, won't he, in 9, 10, and 11 of Romans. He will say that God has not cast off His people whom He foreknew. And the foreknowledge there is the elect within the race of Israel. And I don't know how many God will bring at the end of days, but I do know that it will look like a life from the dead. It'll be a great revival for that people, whoever they are. And I don't know who they are. They may not even be recognizable as Jews today. The folks that are over there in that nation that is today called Israel, that may not even be the same people. I don't know. I'm not a studier of that kind of thing. But I know what the promises of God are. And here in Isaiah chapter 54, God promises, and we pray that the Jews would be called. That they would be called. And this is part of what the Lord promises. This is my covenant with them when I shall take away their sins, is how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 11. So notice these great words of comfort. That while there is a time where the Jews may be cast off, the Lord says to her, "Sing, O barren, that didst not bear." It may seem to you like there's nothing. You may be like that eunuch that says, "I'm a dry tree." The Lord says, "No, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm going to, you are going to break forth in singing. You're going to cry aloud, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife," says the Lord. It's going to be completely unexpected. "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords." And notice, "strengthen thy stakes." Why? They're going to be bearing more weight. There's more material to be held up by them. So take your stakes and make them bigger and longer and drive them deeper and strengthen them, because you're going to have to expand your habitation. When the Lord speaks to His people in terms like this, this is to magnify His grace toward them. "Thou shalt not be ashamed. Thou shalt not be confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame. And thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore," the Lord says. Whatever affliction it is that the Lord sends us for our sins, the greatness of His mercy to us will put all affliction out of our minds in that day. We will rejoice over those afflictions that drew us closer to our Maker and our husband. "The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou hast refused. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness. Notice, we're not talking about the restoration here. With everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And then notice what he does. If I can put it colloquially, he trots out the covenant he made with Noah. He brings that out to assure them, to comfort them. This is like the waters of Noah to me. I said I wouldn't do that anymore. So also am I telling you that I will not forsake you forever. I will bring you to myself. As I kept my promise with Noah, so will I keep my promise with you, the Lord says. The mountains shall depart. The hills shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. So that's the end of the first section, verses 1 through 10. Then in verse 11, notice greater words of comfort than before. O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest, not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and so their windows and their gates and their borders shall all be laid with precious stones. And all of thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Whereas, remember at the restoration, what happened? They come back and the children of the church are what? They're speaking a strange language. They don't know the voice of the Lord any longer. The Lord says, that's not going to happen for you. All your children shall be brought up as children unto me. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come near thee. So then, these are great evangelical promises to God's people of all ages, especially as he writes to the Jews in this age, to those Jews. And this is looking far beyond the restoration. This is looking to that gospel ordering of their end. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn, because the heritage of the people of God is in righteousness which is from me, the Lord says. Their righteousness cannot be gainsaid. It cannot be overturned. It is that which I have given to them. All right, well, thus ends the reading then of Isaiah chapter 54.